The book of Acts. I seem to have a little hindrance in my voice there. I also have not turned on my microphone. I think it's on now. And I want to tell you, it doesn't hurt. I've got a little sinus problem and a little drainage. Have you ever had sinus when once in a while be Niagara Falls down the back of your throat? And I'm getting that unexpectedly here and there. But I want you to know, because I can tell by the look on your face, you're worried about me. And I know I don't want you to feel bad through the whole service, because I don't feel bad. You're the ones who are hurting, having to listen to this. But if I clear my throat a few times, maybe it'll go away. Okay, maybe if I spit. Maybe I shouldn't do that. But anyway, so glad to see that you're here at a revival conference. What on earth would that be about? Well, revival is about Christians coming up to what you would expect Christians should be. And we are not talking about that dead, lifeless, formal, ritualistic thing all over town that's called Christianity. Now, we're not talking about. We're talking about a real, vital relationship of a person with God through Jesus Christ that has a beginning point when you are born again and continue in a vital, real, miraculous, ongoing relationship with the ruler of the universe. Sounds exciting to me, doesn't it? People think church is boring. People think Christianity is boring. But I'll tell you, real Christianity is anything but boring. And that's what we're doing. And it's a gathering of Christians. And you know what? If you would give us the chance, we would like to introduce you to Jesus Christ. One time I was meeting with a preacher at a restaurant on Interstate 94 in Jackson, Michigan. A good way, if you're going to have a preacher's meeting, to make sure that they all come is to have it at a restaurant and eat. Well, the third guy didn't come. He and I were there for breakfast. We ordered breakfast. He said, Brother Flanders, I was very young back then, an assistant pastor at a church, said, Brother Flanders, would you lead us in prayer? So we prayed and thanked the Lord for the food. I just thanked the Lord for the food. When we looked up, there was a lady standing right next to our table, looking right at me. I said, hello. She said to me, I think that's the most beautiful thing I ever heard. She said, you talk to him as if you knew him. I said, I do know him. I said, ma'am, do you know Jesus Christ? And she said to me, well, nobody's ever introduced me to him. So we did right there. Opened our Bible. Preachers always have Bibles. We showed her the way. Oh, we'd love to do that with you. Found out she was, you know, there are no coincidences. She was coming from Detroit to Chicago on I-94. She lives in Chicago. She'd just been to Detroit for the funeral of a loved one, and was thinking all the way about God and eternity, and came into a restaurant and heard somebody talk to Jesus. And you know what? You can know Jesus. We'd like to show you how, and we're glad that you've come among us. Now, talk about excitement. People think the Bible's boring. I'll tell you what. I don't know where you're reading, but it isn't the Acts of the Apostles. That's where we're reading tonight. Chapter 19. Did I tell you that? I'll give you a second. Turn to chapter 19. And go down to verse 10. And this, and I'll explain in a few minutes what this was. This continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said,
Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them. Now you got to use your imagination. Picture this. The man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded and embarrassed. That's in the Greek. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on all them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Now the Acts of the Apostles shows us what God wants to do with us. Our subject is revival. When we read from the Old Testament, we find the basics of revival. How God deals with his people. If we turn back to him after straying, he'll turn back to us with blessings. Then in the book of John, we read about the new covenant under which we live and the blessings that Jesus Christ has bestowed upon us that we need to, by faith, claim. Then there's the book of James. When we know that we have fallen below the standard, we want to get back up. In the book of James, chapter 4, that we read some from last night, tells us how to be resuscitated, how to be brought back up. Another way to put it is how to be revived. And so these are important books. But Acts is important too because, you know, the revived state of Christians is explained to us in the book of John, how to get there in the book of James, but Acts tells us what it looks like, what a revived church looks like, what revived people do. And you know what? It tells us what God wants to do with us. Now, the key is back in chapter 1. Would you work with me tonight? You've been pretty good about work. Turn back to chapter 1. It won't be too complicated tonight. He has met with the apostles and others for 40 days after rising from the dead. And now he's ready to leave the earth. They didn't know that. And they're on the Mount of Olives to the east of Jerusalem. And he has some things to say, and his parting words are these. Verse 8, everybody read it. Out loud, the parting words of Jesus Christ as he left the earth and left us behind. Ready? Starts with but, everybody. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, they had a great task. They were to take the message of his love to the uttermost part of the earth. Matthew says, all nations. Mark says, every creature in the world. See, here he says, to the uttermost part of the earth. But I'm going to give you the ability to do it by giving you the Holy Ghost, which we've had to talk about this week. And you know what? Christians filled with the Holy Ghost spread out around the world, just like he said, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. And they were carrying out the Acts 1:8 plan, which incidentally is what we should be doing. That's what Prince Albert Baptist Church is about, Acts 1:8. That's what Victory Baptist of Sherwood Park is about, Acts 1:8. That's what your church, if it's an evangelical, Bible-believing church, is all about. Carrying out our Lord's commission. He's the head of the church. It isn't the deacons that decide what the church is about. It isn't the membership. It isn't the pastor. It's the head of the church, Jesus Christ. And it's his church. He bought it with his blood. He said, the church is about us being filled with the Holy Spirit and spreading the message to our city, our country, and finally around the world. And the Acts of the Apostles shows us how they did it. And you know what they ran into? They ran into the devil. Sometimes he isn't named. He isn't named until chapter 5. But previous to chapter 5, any discerning person can see the devil pushing back. He pushes back in Jerusalem. He pushes back very obviously in Samaria. And now in Ephesus, a big city on the coast of what we now call Turkey. And you know what? The devil also is active in Prince Albert. Dear Lord, help us to see our enemy tonight. And Lord, that which we can use against him. Lord, let there be victory all over the world. As your people become aware of your victory and of the Holy Ghost, and as we become aware of the enemy and that he is defeated, and also solve problems and meet needs that are right before me tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, verse 10 says, this continued. What continued? The beginning of chapter 19, Paul the Apostle, traveling on his missionary journey, ran into a small congregation of confused, troubled, weak Christians. He corrected them. They had a prayer meeting. And this little group of people were filled with the Holy Ghost. Then they began to work with their new pastor to evangelize their city. Why? That's what revived people do. And they did evangelize the city. Matter of fact, verse 10 says, it continued for the space of 2 years, so that in 2 years, everybody in Asia had heard the gospel. Now, let's not talk about the great big continent that our globes call Asia. It's about a province of the Roman Empire, small, in what we now call Turkey. But it would be like this. It would be like there was a revival at Prince Albert Baptist Church, and in 2 years, everyone in Saskatchewan had heard the gospel. That's what had happened. It was a pretty phenomenal thing that happened. Now, that's verse 10. Verse 11. The Bible says that God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Today in the revival seminar, and you ought to come tomorrow. You really should, even if you missed the rest of it. But Brother Webster asked a question that would have taken me too long to really answer. But it was a good one. And that is, isn't it true, Brother Flanders, that there have been physical miracles in nearly every greater revival the world has ever seen? Did you know that's true? And at Ephesus, the revival at Ephesus that led into the awakening and the church planting in Asia was accompanied by miracles. Now, some of our friends have been taught the false doctrine that if we were ever filled with the Holy Spirit, all the miracles of the book of Acts would happen now. That is a false doctrine. Some of us will say to us that the only reason we're not seeing these amazing miracles, and I'm talking about like the healing miracles we read about here with the aprons and napkins, you saw that, or handkerchiefs, you know, is because we're not filled with the Holy Spirit. If we ever filled with the Holy Spirit, we could raise the dead and open the eyes of the blind, and that's not true. Here's what the truth is, though. God sometimes does miracles to help with a program. His program, which is Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part. Now, I can't make them happen. And God will not always do miracles. The Bible says about John the Baptist, John did no miracle. Now, some of our friends in town would say, if you don't do miracles, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, are you still thinking? That must mean that John the Baptist was not filled with the Holy Spirit. Would that be a correct statement? John the Baptist was not filled with the Holy Spirit? What does the Bible say about John the Baptist being filled with the Spirit? He was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. Other than Jesus Christ, it would be correct to say that John the Baptist was the most filled with the Spirit preacher the world has ever seen. But he never did one miracle. Why is that? 1 Corinthians 12 says that miraculous manifestations of the Holy Spirit come as he wills. Not I, but God chooses when he does miracles. Same thing is said in Hebrews 2. The miracles come as God wills. Now, being as afraid as we are of false doctrine, many of us have come to say that God doesn't do that anymore. See, but that's not true either. God does do miracles. Did you know that? He really does them. Now, it's not that if I were filled with the Spirit, I'd do all the miracles of the book of Acts. I don't know when or how he will ever do miracles. But you know what? We Baptists don't need to shut the door on miracles. Because here's what our duty is. My duty is to be filled with the Spirit, spread the gospel, let God do what he wants to do. And in Ephesus, God does these remarkable miracles. Now, some people are given the impression that some of the apostles could go around and do the miracles anytime they wanted. The reason it says in Acts 19 he did special miracles is because they weren't happening last week. They were just for Ephesus. There never was a man, even Jesus Christ, who could do miracles anytime he wanted to. Did you know that? You follow your Bible. They were sent by God when they would help out. Now watch. When he's doing the miracles, including casting out devils, here come exorcists. Who were exorcists? Exorcists were people who took money to cast out devils. Most of the world knows what it means to be devil-possessed. This is not a fairy tale. It isn't a spook story for Halloween. It's daily life. Most of the world knows what devil possession is. The devil with a capital D has a whole army of devils who are imps, fallen angels, who are still active on the earth. And you know what an exorcist would be? A guy who would take money and you've got a family member obviously possessed of a devil with all kinds of symptoms. It's terrible. They'd pay you the money and you'd do something to so-called get rid of the devils. Now, these are exorcists we read about were phonies. Their dad was a priest. But now Paul comes to town and the Christians are casting out devils in Jesus' name. And so they found kind of a new thing to do, and that's this. They would say, hey, we've got a new magic formula. We can relieve you of the devil. Here's what we say. Come out of him in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. Well, then we get this story. Not only is the Bible exciting, sometimes it's funny. I maybe am irreverent, but I think this is a funny story. And so this guy, filled with the devil, is approached by the sons of Sceva, who say, come out of him in the name of Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And the devil says, Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you? And then here comes that guy full of the devil and jumps on those guys, seven sons of Sceva. And man, he prevails against them. And the Bible says they ran out of the house stark naked. And the name of Jesus was magnified. I'll tell you, that's quite a story. But you know what? There's a lesson in here. I would like to take my time to make 3 points tonight about the devil in Prince Albert and where you live. He is there. Okay, ready? Number one, the devil has people in Prince Albert. As we follow the story of the Christians spreading the gospel in the first century, we find them running into the devil and a people who are his people. He has children in this town. In chapter 13, a guy named Elymas is called by Paul the child of the devil. Now, did you know that everybody is not God's child? Jesus said in John chapter 8, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. You don't become a child of God until you're born again. Being born again makes you a child of God. We are children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Not until you put your faith in Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul are you a child of God. You're a child of the devil. Ephesians 2 says, before we were saved, we were dead in trespasses and sins. That we walked according to the prince of the power of the air, and that's Satan himself. And we were the children of disobedience. Now, in this town, there are plenty of people who are children of the devil. A sad position to be in. And God wants to rescue them. Number two, the devil has servants in this town. In Acts chapter 16, we're told about a girl who is described as a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination. Now, there was something supernatural about her. We would have called her a medium. The old English word for someone like her would be a witch. Now she was possessed by an evil spirit, a spirit of divination. That means it claimed to be able to tell you things that you could not know about with your senses. Predict the future. She probably claimed to be able to contact your dead loved ones. Now let me say a word about the occult, about the devil. Here's what it is. It's a deception. Mediums who claim to be able to contact our dead loved ones can't. They can't do it. You know why? When people die, their spirits leave their body and go either to God in heaven or to hell. And they don't come back to the medium's little store downtown. They don't do that ever. Ever. In the Bible, they are called people with familiar spirits, which fits in with what they say. They say, I've got a spirit guide. You know what that is? A devil, a fallen angel, who is an imposter. That devil can actually pretend to be your dead loved one. It's all phony. You know, if you go to someone involved in Wicca and say, you guys work for the devil, they'll laugh at you because the witchcraft religion doesn't believe in the devil. They believe in a false religion that all of the physical, visible world is influenced by an invisible world and by a force out there, it's not God, that you can harness for your own desires. Like you've got an enemy, take a doll, poke it with a pin, and that enemy will go, oh! And you can harness that force to make yourself rich, to get the girl you want. That's what witchcraft is. See, they don't believe in the devil. But they deal with spirits, and they will try to tell you, these are people who have died who are just walking around. They're just here on the earth. And I'm going to tell you, it's all a deception. All a deception to bring people deeper into darkness. Now, this girl with a spirit of divination, you paid her to tell the future. The Bible says that she endorsed the ministry of the Apostle Paul. You ever read that? She followed them. Through town, in their street preaching, she would say, these men are the servants of the Most High God who come to give us the way of salvation. Now, the Bible says instead of being encouraged, Paul was grieved by it because you know why? A man of God doesn't want to be endorsed by the devil. And she was not only endorsing him, she was in a sense implying his endorsement of her. You know, here you come to a street corner to preach, and a woman who is known as a medium says, listen to these men. They're going to give us the way of salvation. The implication is that you and her are on the same side. So after a while, Paul was grieved at this thing, and he cast out the devil. And that's the story. Now, in this town, the devil has servants. Some of them are poor slaves to a devil or devils, some of them deeply involved in the occult. And friends, I'm going to tell you something. They need help, but we need to beware of what's going on. And not only that, the devil also has captives in this town. In Ephesians 6, talking about dealing with the devil, the Bible says we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers, and spiritual darkness in high places, and so on. That's what it says. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But if you read Acts 19, and you go into the other parts of the New Testament that are about what happened at Ephesus, you find out that they did have flesh and blood enemies. Yeah. Like who? In this chapter, you'll read about Demetrius the silversmith, verse 24. in the one of the books of Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy, are written to Ephesus. Demetrius the silversmith, which is here, Alexander the coppersmith. There were Jews, and there were Greeks, and there were Romans who were arresting Paul and persecuting the Christians. Now, Paul warned us, you're not wrestling with them. They're not the real enemy. These people who are putting you under arrest. No, they're not. You know what they are? POWs. Matter of fact, I'm going to have you look here. 2 Timothy, would you look at 2 Timothy chapter 2? The devil has children. He has servants. He has captives in this town. And the preacher in town at the time that 2 Timothy was written is told in verse 25, right at the end of the chapter, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You know what the people in this town that are against what we're doing and against Christianity in your town, and they are not people who should be hated. They should be pitied and loved. Because you know what they are? Captives. And all over this town. Now, are you thinking? I was expecting that you would be awake while I was talking about this. Are you thinking of people in this town or your town who would fit the description I've just given of the devil having people in town? The devil's children, the devil's servants, the devil's captives, and the desperate need of this town for people to be delivered. So, talking about the devil in Prince Albert. He has people in Prince Albert. Number two, the devil has a great disadvantage in this town. Verse 15, great disadvantage. So this poor fellow is possessed with devils. And these phony baloney guys, the exorcists, were being paid to relieve him of his problem. And they decided to say, we command you, adjure you, in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches, to leave the man. And the devil speaks through the man's mouth and he says, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And then they're in big trouble. Now, did you know all the devils know Jesus? They tremble. You know why? Jesus Christ is not only the Son of God. He is the one who has defeated them. The Bible teaches that when Jesus Christ died, he died to redeem us. He was paying for our sins so we wouldn't have to pay for them in hell. Did you know that if you don't let Jesus Christ save your soul, you will have to pay for your own sins in a terrible place called hell? He rose again the third day to be the victor over sin and death and hell. But the Bible teaches in the book of Ephesians that when some weeks later he ascended up to heaven from the Mount of Olives, that he ascended up far above the principalities and powers. And you know what that's talking about? The devil's domain. And on that day, I don't understand it, but you read all of Ephesians and follow the principalities and powers. The words principalities and powers mean devils with authority over other devils. Satan is called the prince of devils. And his army that's active on the earth has ranks and units and somehow has authority over certain areas. And that's a great subject that we won't take time for. But the point is, when Jesus Christ died and rose again and ascended up on high, he defeated the devil. The devil's defeated. And they know it. Jesus, I know. That's why in the name of Jesus, devils could be cast out every time. Devils are perverse. Devils are anti-God. They are wicked. But they somehow understand authority. Follow your Bible. Virtually every time A devil speaks through a person. He calls God the Most High. They understand authority. He's far above them. And when someone commands a devil in the name of Jesus Christ, the devil obeys because he's defeated. So watch. The great disadvantage of our enemy in this town is that he's already defeated. Okay, now watch. Jesus I know, and Paul I know, who was Paul, a sinner saved by grace, a servant of the living God. And do you know what? The reason the devils took note of Paul was that Paul was exercising the authority of Jesus Christ over them. Meaning this, it's not just theology or theory that Jesus Christ has defeated the devil as he sits on the right hand of the Father. It's a practical thing about our daily life. Christian people who will submit to the authority of Jesus in their own life will have his authority to actually command devils and get the victory. So says Ephesians. In one of the chapters, it says this, neither give place to the devil. Now that phrase sounds like, if the devil gets in, I had something to say about it. Neither give place to the devil, blaming me because the devil came in. Like I'm standing at the door and I say, you don't belong in here. Get out of here. Now, I want to tell you, the devil is not scared of me because he's smarter than me and he's stronger than me. But he is afraid of Jesus. We learned last night, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know what? A Christian in rebellion against God can't do this. But a Christian who has submitted to the Lord, like many of us did last night, is in the place where the grace of God, where they can resist the devil and have him flee. Many of you know Ephesians 6 about putting on the whole armor of God. Go back and study it. The chapter isn't about the whole armor of God. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then over and over again it says, stand. Having done all to stand. Stand having your loins girded about with truth. Withstand them. You know what the Bible says Christians can do about the devil? Stand against him. Say, you don't come in here. No. You know how we can do that? It's not our strength. It's authority. Now, we might see a semi-truck coming through Prince Albert, going through all the construction obstructions, coming through like that. And you know, it might be a great big truck coming through. And here he's coming through. But you have probably witnessed this. He's coming to the intersection, and let's make the guy a real skinny guy. And I'm not going to refer to anybody here tonight, but a real skinny guy. And he's standing in the intersection, and here comes this truck that wants to get through. And the little skinny guy is standing around right in the middle of the street, and he goes like this. And he might have a little silver whistle. You know what happens? The truck driver slams on the brakes. Little skinny guy with little skinny arms holds up his little skinny hand and stops the big truck. How did he do that? I'll tell you how. He's got a badge. See the authority. Saskatchewan. Prince Albert. He's got authority. He could give the guy a ticket, throw the guy in jail. Not because he's muscular or intelligent or highly educated or skilled. He's got authority. He's wearing a uniform. That's why you're driving down the road, I'm sure this didn't happen to you. Some fellow with lights on his car pulls up And your car could go faster than his, but you better not. You pull over, roll down the window, everything he says. You not only do it, you say, yes, sir. Why? Are you following me? He's got what? We do too. We do too. Great disadvantage against the devil. Incidentally, his advantage is we don't know about it. That's why I'm telling us. Did you know we'll always give the devil a whole lot of credit? We'll say, you know, that person got saved on Sunday, but you know what? He's not made it out to the meetings. You know why? The devil got in there. Well, I think it was the devil. But you know what? We don't have to talk about the devil as if he always succeeds. You know those young people, they got on fire for God. But you know what? I've seen this before. The devil's going to get in there. Why act like the devil's going to win? Of course the devil's going to get in there. But you know what? Somebody could walk right up to him and say, stop! Now we've got to be respectful according to the book of Jude. Not in our own strength, we say, the Lord rebuke thee. The Lord rebuke thee. Stand against them. Somebody standing against the devil before the marriage breaks up. Somebody standing against the devil before that life gets ruined. When you recognize the smell of Beelzebub in a situation in your own life and in the lives of others and in this town. There needs to be people who will stand against the devil and say, halt! Stop! Out of here! Resist him and he will... What does it say? He will flee from us. Oh, yeah. And in Ephesians 6, the Bible connects it with prayer. Put on the whole armor of God so you won't get hurt while you're doing this. You know, if you're a weak Christian... not properly armored, it's dangerous to stand against the devil. But surrender all, put on your armor, and get out there and do some good. There are a lot of things going on in the lives of the people listening to me right now that don't have to go on. You know what the problem is? We're putting up with the devil. We're saying, oh, there he goes again. But we're not doing anything. When we can't. Matter of fact, I don't know how to express this more than to say, you better try it. We had a situation in our family years ago where one of our dear children, we love them all, a very young member of our family, seemed to be troubled with actually almost an incurable type of self-imposed depression when they were very little. And they could tell you why, and the thoughts going through their head. You know what? I can never please God. Even at my very best, my motives are wrong. I ask for forgiveness, but then I fall. You know what? It just broke her parents' hearts. I've just told you what the gender was. You know, after talking to her, and I'm a pastor, I know Bible verses. I could really help her. I couldn't help her. You know, she couldn't come out of the gloom. She was the brightest light in our family. And the light went out. And you know what? Then it dawned on me. We're not dealing with thoughts and ideas or psychology. We're dealing with the powers of darkness. She did not know it. But every night after she went to bed, I went up and knelt down by her bed and I asked God to deliver her from evil. Whatever this is, oh God, this being that you have defeated, I call on you. Bind him. I used all the Bible verses. Cast him out. Deliver her. And then you know what, after doing that, say about a week? Sunday night I was preaching. This little girl came walking forward and just knelt at the altar and got up free. And it's been free ever since. My three kids talk about it. They all remember that era of several weeks. And I'm going to tell you, the devil isn't really responsible for everything bad that happens, but he is responsible for some of it. And some of the ways we mess up is we don't deal with that aspect. Spiritual warfare, the invisible world. But we can. The devil has a great disadvantage in this town. Yes, he does. That's why he gets worked up about meetings where you might be told. That's why sometimes weird things happen when you get together and talk about the power of God over the devil. It's because he's nervous that you'll find out. Matter of fact, it says, stand against the wiles of the devil, not against the weapons of the devil. My understanding of the Bible is that for a redeemed, saved person, the devil has no weapons. He's disarmed. He has wiles. You know what that means? Psychological warfare. Meaning, mind games. The devil can't ruin my life, but he can talk me into ruining my own life. Oh, yeah. Great disadvantage. Now, my final point that I'm going to make right now is this. Okay, number one, the devil has people in this town. Number two, he has a great disadvantage. But number three, the devil can be defeated in Prince Albert. Now, where are you seeing that? Look at verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Now, back in verse 10, you know what the people were doing? They were spreading the gospel. They were sowing the seed. Didn't necessarily see much at first. We're talking about agriculture here. Farmers have to be patient. So they were sowing the seed of the word. Have you heard of Jesus? Yeah, people from your organization were by here yesterday. Well, I came to tell you, he loves you. He wants to be your savior. They would spread it all over town and street corners, there was preaching, there was door-to-door, they were spreading it. You didn't see much happening, but something was happening. And not only that, the devil was being defeated, like that story about that guy who jumped on those exorcists. The Bible says the name of Jesus was magnified. Did you happen to hear about that? You know this Jesus those people are talking about? Did you hear what happened down over there? The name of Jesus was magnified. Then, maybe I'm throwing this in, over a period of 2 years, ended up being 3 years, people were saying this. You know what those Christians, what they're saying about God and salvation in Jesus, that's starting to make sense to me. You know, I just threw them out of my property when they first came. But you know what's starting to make sense? You know what's funny? You should say that. I was thinking the same thing. You know what happened? Mightily grew the Word of God. We don't know that the Word of God is the power of God into salvation. Mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. Here's what that means. It was quiet. But the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ was being spread. And you know what was happening? Here's what was happening. I mean, do you hear that? The word of God was being spread, and soon people were saying, you know what, that's starting to make sense. You know, I can't sleep at night. And then all of a sudden, bang! Mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. In other words, the gospel won. Can we even imagine the gospel actually prevailing in Prince Albert? But that's the purpose. That's the purpose. You know what happens? The devil's defeated. The devil says, oh boy, we took a blow over there at PA, Edmonton, where you live. Oh, Saskatoon. Boy, we got a black eye. You know why? God's people were filled with the Holy Spirit and did what we were supposed to do, spreading the gospel and standing against the devil. And in this building, you know what there ought to be? Prayer meetings. Real prayer meetings. Part of the prayer meeting ought to be to stand against the devil and to name people who need deliverance. Then you know what we need to do? Walk out of the church, take the gospel to everybody we see. And I've hardly ever been in a town where I saw more people, obviously, in need of help than I see in this town, right on the street. What are you talking about? Right after we leave tonight, there they are, lonely, caught in a terrible lifestyle. Many of them actually captives of the devil. And we got the answer. And you know what? Maybe the first time they won't say, what must I do to be saved? But I'm going to tell you, the Word of God is powerful. And if it keeps going on in the power of the Holy Ghost, the Word of God will grow and prevail.